The documentary film Becoming Cousteau has opened in cinemas. It's been 25 years since Jacques Cousteau, almost, since Jacques Cousteau died, the great adventurer of the seas. He was world-renowned. They sang songs about him and his adventures in his boat Calypso. Dame Kerry Takanawa did a version of that at the time. He may have set sail as a young man on a crystal clear ocean, but it didn't stay like that. The makers of this new retrospective documentary about Cousteau say he was the aquatic answer to both Sir Edmund Hillary and Sir David Attenborough. An interesting comparison. He certainly brought ocean conservation into the living rooms of the world via television. He invented the modern aqualung and he pioneered underwater photography.
Diving is the most fabulous distraction you can experience. I am miserable out of the water. It is as though you have been introduced to heaven and then forced back to earth.
And as he roamed the seas in Calypso, Jacques Cousteau became more and more alarmed about what we were doing to the water on our planet. He sounded warnings early as he saw coral reefs become barren and fishing grounds depleted in the oceans, starting to be overcome by pollution. Pax Wasserman is the co-writer and editor of Becoming Cousteau, known for his work on a number of documentary films. Hello, Pax.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. He had a jubilant need to know, he writes in his diary early in your film. What a sense of purpose Cousteau had. He was a lucky man in many ways, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. I mean, I think he knew that he was lucky, but he also felt a responsibility to share that luck.
Let's get the legacy spelled out early, because there'll be people listening now who've never or barely heard of Jacques Cousteau. And that was certainly not true once. Why was he a great man, Pax?
Well, I mean, I think he was a person who didn't really start out. He didn't start out with any particular training in anything that he ended up doing. And he started out as really with a sense of adventure and just wanting to go further, see more, and then show it to others. You know, how do I go further? Okay, let's invent a new underwater breathing apparatus that had never been invented, and really the beginnings of scuba. So he kind of turned from being an adventurer who was really just following his curiosity. And then later on, there was a period of like alarm and conscience that came from that, but also awareness from all that he had seen, that there was a tremendous amount of resources being damaged underwater, that the oceans were the life for the world, and that there was a limited amount of time to do something about it. He helped establish the first Earth Summit in 1992. There were 160 nations, and they all agreed on something. And then he held their feet to the fire and said, you know, it's wonderful they said all these pretty words, but now we need to turn these words into acts. I think he would be alarmed today to see how little has been done. And he'd find a lot of common cause with people like Greta Thunberg. And, I feel like he would he'd be at the forefront of pushing the world leaders to act.
Yeah, realization dawned slowly in some respects for him, as it does with many people. I mean, Cousteau and his team, this is the, I don't know if you'd call it an accusation, because oil was more respectable then, but Cousteau and his team were responsible, it said, for the oil wealth of Abu Dhabi as part of an oil exploration contract. They explored the sea floor and discovered where oil could be pulled up from. And he felt guilty about that later, didn't he?
He did. I mean, he didn't necessarily name it as guilt. He did draw some distinctions in terms of petroleum was biodegradable, that it wasn't as bad as the chemicals that are being poured into the ocean. But he clearly turned away from that. That was a big reason he went into television, was to find another source of money that could keep the Calypso going, that could keep his explorations going, that wasn't just about oil. What were they looking for underwater was natural resources. So like you said, it was a different time, and he didn't necessarily know better, and he didn't really profit from the Abu Dhabi wealth. He really just got like a few parts for the boat out of it and kept things going. But, you know, I think for us, that was actually made the story better, because it wasn't just about a great man who we're supposed to revere, but somebody who was authentic, who was relatable because he wasn't always that way. And then through lessons learned, was driven by conscience.
We're talking with Pax Wasserman. Becoming Cousteau is the film. And he became famous. He was a household name across the planet. He was so famous, and you say this in the film, that he was listed next to the president as the person Americans would most like to meet. And in your film, as early as 1971, he was talking about the sea being, as he put it, in distress, the destruction of the ocean 50 years ago. And he had seen it pristine, and then he saw it all change. And you mentioned Greta Thunberg, but in your movie, young people are marching back in 1970. And in a way, that's depressing, because Greta fears no one is listening, and they weren't listening then either. And it's clear there were stringent environmental protocols in place then that were just ignored by industry. So some things don't change.
Yeah, it's hard to stay motivated through it. I mean, it is a gale force wind that we're up against with this. There was an incredible awakening of conscience and consciousness in the 70s, around the same time that he was starting to talk about it with Greenpeace and other things, that has kept going. And, you know, he wasn't one of the first people to recognize necessarily the link for climate change, but he was one of the loudest voices on it. He did have a period when he was a little more despondent, that no one was listening, that things couldn't change. But there's an ebb and flow to that. And I think anybody who's involved in activism has to deal with that all the time, that you have the high of the great rally, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, nothing happened. You have to reinvigorate yourself. You have to find that strength inside yourself. And he did. I mean, he finished very strong. This can't just be pretty words. You know, there has to be, we have to follow through on it.
Yeah, he certainly pushed the leaders. That comes through. He said, I speak all over the world to try and leave a clean planet to our children, but nobody wants to hear. And at one point he said, it's too late. But as you say, he recovered his optimism. He got the hang of climate change towards the end. And he foresaw a time, Pax, didn't he, when people would care about the climate sufficiently to rise up. Even though his television shows got cancelled because he became too strident and so on, he actually foresaw the time that has probably come now.
Yeah, I think he did. I mean, like I said, I think he'd be very frustrated right now. He would have had more partners, and he would have known how to use that. So in that way, he's a model for a lot of people today.
He's interviewed in your film, and someone asks him about his great successes and failures, and he's not interested in answering that. He's saying that he had no interior world, really, just a commitment to the outside world, which is very unusual, unless he was just kind of avoiding the question. But he was peculiarly driven, wasn't he? Single-minded.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one word I would use about him is curiosity, and curiosity about what's outside of him. There are points in the movie when he is more reflective and he's open to that. That was probably a particularly petulant day when he said that in the interview. But for us, that was difficult with the film, is getting inside him.
We would tut-tut about him now. I mean, he would ride turtles. He was at times willing to sacrifice individual marine animals to publicize his larger aims. People have pointed a few things out about his darker side. But he devoted his entire life, didn't he, to making people realize what was under the sea. He was the first person to show us what was under the sea, and he was just trying to shake the world into awareness.
So even though there were a lot of moments, and ones that we include in the film, where he talked about the way that they may be mistreated animals when they were starting out in those early films, especially if you look at the Antarctica film, I think, of just finding a new untouched place and showing people what nature really is when it's not under our foot. So I think it was really important for him to share that with everyone.
So he invented waterproof housing for cameras. He was a master of images, because the silent world, you make this point in your own documentary, the silent world was a masterpiece that he made, and he didn't want his films to be labelled documentaries. He said they were films with someone who knows more than you do preaching to you. He wanted to be the great director of the ocean.
Yeah, the true adventure films, they're not documentaries.
Well done on becoming Cousteau. You must be proud of having been able to put together such a complete picture of a complex individual and also find all the images that back that up.
Yeah, it feels like the right time for people to see this movie.
You know, just quickly at the end, we're used to super filming now in nature documentaries, in seeing the natural world. We're used to the sheer expertise that's been brought to David Attenborough docos and such. But in fact, you look back at the old stuff he shot, and it's very, very good even now.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. And despite the fact that we're not in super high def, like images are today, or screensaver on your laptop, that it's something that can still speak to people just as an image, as just a view. And you know, also remembering that this is really the first time anybody shot stuff like this.
Yeah. No, there's certainly a virtue to watching well-shot film. Even if it's not quite as sharp as what we see now. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much for fitting us in, and all the best with the doco.
Thank you so much, Jim.